Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Chaf Aleph. We left off in daf Chaf on the days. We read the Mishnah and a little bit past the Mishnah, where the Mishnah was talking about if a person has an oven or a stove and they live upstairs or downstairs from somebody, there are certain harchakos that they need to take in order to be able to be certain that they're not going to damage their neighbor's property. And we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. After one takes those precautions, is he going to be chayiv for damages that then occur as a result of having the oven in spite of the precautions that were taken? And then the Mishnah had said that you're not supposed to open up a bake shop or a dye shop underneath somebody's storage area, and you're also not allowed to open up a cattle area underneath someone's storage area. But the Mishnah said that if the storage area contains wine, you can open up the bake shop and the dye shop, just not the cattle. So says the Gemara, Lo Yifta Chanus, we're at the first two dots after the Mishnah. Lo Yifta Chanus, Tana, Im Haisa Refes Kodemus La Otzer Mutter, that if the cattle were there before the storage area was there, then it's going to be Mutter to keep it there. You don't have to change it. If the person had cleared out the area in order to make an otzer, in order to be able to store things there, so then what's the din? Meaning he has not yet stored anything there. So do you still have kedima? Are you grandfathered in when you were when you set up your refes bakar underneath an area that's already been cleaned for the sake of making a storage house? Or is it only if the storage house is already only if the guy hasn't done anything to make a storage house that you're grandfathered in? If you get there before he even makes a hint to the idea that he wants to use the top floor for storage, or riba bechalonos mahu, what if he's added windows to the top floor? Why does adding windows mean anything? So Rashi says, "Degali daite shalo otzer hu asoi sheikanis lo avir shalo yirka fatavua." When you would make a storage area specifically for grain, they would make sure there are a lot of windows so that there's a lot of air that comes in so that the grain won't rot. So you know if he's adding a lot of windows, so if the downstairs neighbor sees that the upstairs neighbor is adding a lot of windows, he knows he's going to use it for storage. So that's the Gemara Shaila. Can he quickly make a refes bakar downstairs and still be okay because there's nothing yet stored in the top floor? Bana aliyah al gabe beso mahu. What if you see the guy is building an aliyah on top of his house? And normally, when they would build an aliyah on top of the house, it's because they wanted to use it for storage. So Rashi points out these aren't just three independent questions. It's an imtim tzolomar over here. If you look at Rashi, bana aliyah al gabe beso al gago on top of the roof. Uregilin hayu livno sham laotzar, and it's normal to build an aliyah for the sake of storage. Mahu, what's the din? Im timtzulam riba bechalonos lav hakdamahu. Hechi de kuli binyana lahachi avid mai. Meaning this is an imtim tzulamar. If you're going to say that adding windows is not a simon mufak, that you're planning on using the area for storage, all you're doing is adding windows. What about when the entire construction is done specifically for this purpose? Maybe that is a significant enough hakdama to declare that this is a storage area, and therefore you're limited in what you can do downstairs beneath the storage area. So teku, all these questions are left b'teku. And again, as we've pointed out in the past, having it as an imtim tzolomar as opposed to three independent questions can have enough kamina lahalacha, because the rule when it comes to a teku is if you have a series of questions that are left b'teku, but there are imtim tzolomars along the way, generally we paskin like the tzad that the imtim tzolomar goes in. So if we say, riba b'chalonos, is that considered that it's already a storage area or not? And if you're going to say that that's not considered already a storage area, what if he builds the whole area from scratch? So then that means we're going to paskin that it's not considered a storage area, because we always paskin like an imtim tzolomar, as opposed to if it's just left up in the air, so then you would have motzi mechaver lafaraya, and you would have all the normal rules by suffolk of mamon. Okay, by Rav Unabred of Yishua, tamri v'rimoni mai. What if the guy put dates and pomegranates in the area, is that considered to be the beginning of a storage area also? Meaning, if he's keeping dates and pomegranates, is it only when you put grain, wine, oil, things like that, or do even dates and pomegranates being kept in an area dedicate that area for storage? So teku, that too is left as a teku. So it's interesting that the Gemara has four questions that are teku, but has three together and then one totally separate. Perhaps that's where Rashi gets the idea that the three that are together are imtim tzilomars, right? That they are connected to each other, and this fourth one is not an imtim tzilomar, it's totally independent. Okay, the MSBI in Itzir, the Mishnah said that if upstairs he's got wine in there, so then you're allowed to have your bake shop and your dye shop downstairs. Why is it okay? Because the wine is going to only be improved and bettered by the fact that you have something downstairs, that you have heat downstairs. But if you keep cattle downstairs, it's going to make the wine smell, it's not going to be good. Amar of Yosef, says, our wine is so sensitive that even just a little bit of smoke from a candle would be bad for it. Certainly to have an entire bake shop or a dye shop downstairs would be terrible for it. So maybe they were talking about their wine, where the wine is improved by having the bake shop or the dye shop downstairs, but that's not true by our wine. Meaning all he's saying is, you have to look at the metzius. If the metzius is that it's actually good for the wine to have these guys downstairs, so wonderful. But if that's not the metzius, so it's not the metzius, then the halacha is going to change. Amrav Sheshes, v'aspasta kerefes bakar dami. If you have aspasta, shacha shel tavua, Rashi says, if you keep the stubble of grain in the downstairs, that's considered like a refes bakar because it's moist and hot and it's going to smell. So anything that's smelly, meaning the point is, refes bakar is lav dafka refes bakar. You don't have to be a cattle rancher to have a problem with making certain uses of the bottom floor. If you have something that smells and is therefore going to cause a lot of... it's going to be a nuisance for the guy in the top floor, and it may damage his goods on the top floor. So that's a problem. So you can't have anything that smells. New Mishnah. Chanus shabachatzer yachal limchos biyada v'lomer lo ein yachal lishon mikol anechnasin mikol ayotzin. So these are zoning laws, right? If you have if someone tries to open up a store in your chatzer, and the chatzer is a residential area, it's all houses in the chatzer, and the person decides he's going to open up a store, so the bnei chatzer can make a macha'a, and they can say, look, we can't sleep from all these people that are coming in and coming out. It's causing too much noise for us. We're unable to sleep. Aval osa kelim yotzei umochra b'toch hashuk. But a person is allowed to use his home to produce goods. He can produce kelim, he can build kelim, then go take them out and sell them in the market. Veinu yachal limchos biyado, and then no one's allowed a taina, v'lomer lo in yachal ishon lo mikol apatash, lo mikol reichayim, lo mikol atinokos. Then no one can taina, I can't sleep because of the tools and the hammering and whatever you're using to produce your kelim, nor can anyone claim that they can't sleep because of the children. What children? Where did the children come in? Whose children? So says Rashi, we're assuming that now we're talking about children who are going to the shop. So it sounds like a very interesting Havamina. The Mishnah seems to be assuming, before we change it when we get to the Gemara, the Mishnah seems to be assuming that if a guy opens up a store and he has adults shopping at the store, you can taina, I can't sleep, the adults make too much noise. But if he has children shopping at the store, not adults, the parents always send their kids, then you can't complain. You're not allowed to say anything about the kids. You have to leave the kids alone and allow them to have such a store, which obviously is a havamina we're going to have trouble with, and that's the Gemara starts off. Maishan Reisha, Maishan Seifa. Why should we be allowed to complain about adults coming to buy at a store, but not be allowed to complain about children buying at a store? Tos points out, why isn't the Gemara asking, or maybe the Gemara is asking, why are we not allowed to complain about the hammering when he produces the kelim? So Tosus points out, Hasha salkadaitach de tinokos de seifa, hainu shabbatin liknos bechanos mishum hachi parach maishna. Right? He points out, like we said before, that we're assuming when we talk about tinokos at the end of the Mishnah, we're talking about tinokos who are going to buy at the store, and that's what the Gemara is asking. What's the difference between adults buying and children buying? Aval! The question is not about why you're not allowed to complain about the hammering when he's making kelim. the ein sham nichnasim v'yotzin, the mi sheyesh lo chitin litchal nosin v'alei chayim v'chein patish, because there are no nichnasim v'yotzin, and since there are no nichnasim v'yotzin, there's no shaila that he's allowed to do things that are normal activities in his house, even if it makes a little bit of noise, he's allowed to do that. The only thing is bringing traffic. That's the only discussion of our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to bring extra traffic in. And it sounds like the Mishnah is saying, if that traffic is children, that that's okay and no one's allowed to stop you. And that's the Gemara's question. Why is traffic of children okay, whereas adult traffic is not okay? So the answer is Gemara, Amar Abaye, Seifa Asalim L'chatzer Acheres. The Seifa is talking about people from a different chatzer that want to complain. People in a neighboring chatzer, they're not even in your chatzer, and they want to complain about the children, so then they cannot complain about the children. Amalei Rav, Rav says, what are you talking about? Ihachi listening chatzer acheres mutter. Why would you change the case from adults to children if it has nothing to do with whether they're adults or children? If the whole issue is whether it's the same chatzer or a chatzer acheres, why would you discuss adults or children? Ella Amar Ravis, Ravis says, no, that can't be pshat. Rather, the pshat is Seifa Asan Latinoko Sholbeis Rabban. That the Seifa is talking about a case of children who are coming to learn. It's Tinoko Sholbeis Rabban. Says Rashi, V'afagav de kol haba mach masacherim lo matzi machuye. But and even though you're not allowed to, even though there's a noise that comes from these people from having these children there, you're not allowed to say anything about it. Why? So says the Gemara, Umitakanas Yoshua ben Gamal Ve'ilach. This is assuming after the Takana of Rabbi Yoshua ben Gamla. Rashi says Rabbi Yoshua ben Gamla was one of the Kohanim Gedolim during Bayis Sheni. We should always remember this man for good. The Yoshua ben Gamla Shmo, and his name was Yoshua ben Gamla. She'ilmalehu, had it not been for him, nishtakach Torah miYisrael, Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. She'betchila mishiyesh lo'av melamdo Torah. Initially, someone who would have a father, the father would teach him Torah. Mishein lo'av lo'yelam Torah. If someone didn't have a father to teach him Torah, he simply did not learn Torah. My drosh. What did they darshan? How did they understand this? That a father has a chiv to teach a son Torah, but that's it. V'limadtem osam, they darshan v'limadtem atem. That you yourself should teach your children Torah. But then, iskinu shiyam hashivin melamdei tinokos b'Yerushalayim. Then Rabbi Shulman Gamla was mesakein that they should set up a system of melamdei tinokos in Yerushalayim, that they should have teachers in Yerushalayim and set up yeshivos in Yerushalayim. My drosh, where did they come up with such an idea to be have melamdei tinokos in Yerushalayim? Pasuk says, ki mitzion teitze Torah. Why is it dafka mitzion teitze Torah, not from anywhere else? It must be that we're supposed to have melamdei tinokos dafka in Yerushalayim. Still, someone who had a father, the father would go and bring him and teach him Torah. And someone who didn't have a father, the father he would not be able to go and learn Torah, and the kid was still stuck without learning anything. So they decided instead that they'll set up melamdei tinokos in every major city, and they'll start bringing them in when they're 16, 17 years old to learn. Umisha Yerabo Koes Alav Mavid Bavyotse Vietse. And the problem with first introducing the idea of school to a 16 or 17 year old is that a 16 or 17 year old is not what we call being Mekabel Maros. They're not able to accept authority easily. That's a rebellious time in a person's life and they think they know everything. So it's very difficult if they're not used to the concept of accepting authority and having to listen to authority, to just introduce them to that concept at the age of 16 or 17, it doesn't work. And therefore, they started to rebel and they would just walk out. Ad Shabbat Yoshua ben Gamla, Vitikin Shimashivan Melamdi Tinokos become Medina Medina, Ubachal Ir V'ir. Until Rabbi Yoshua ben Gamla came along and he said, no, you have to have Melamdi Tinokos in every province, in every city. And umachnis no son keben sheish keben sheva. He would start teaching them already when they're 6 or 7 years old, when they're young and they're willing to listen and they'll listen to whatever you tell them, and they're ready, they're able to understand the idea of accepting authority. And that way they'll be in the system by the time they're 16, 17. They'll get it. They'll still understand how to accept authority. So that was his idea. Now the age and the location are related to each other. All the Achronim point out that originally it was only Bechal Pelech Pelech. It was not very local, so you had to travel to go to schools. That's why they would only send 16 and 17 year olds to travel, because traveling is very difficult for a young child. A young child can't travel on his own. Once they got it to, once he decided to make it in every small town, so then even the 6 and 7 year olds were able to go, right? Those two factors are very much connected to each other. So this is the idea. Now, what was the Havamina of only setting it up in Yerushalayim and not setting it up anywhere else? Why would you think that that's such a brilliant idea, setting it up in Yerushalayim? Obviously, only the kids who had fathers who could bring them to Yerushalayim were going to be able to come. So what was the Havamina? Why? Granted, it says in the Pasuk, Ki Mitzion Teitzesara, but why? What's so special about Yerushalayim? Can a Melamed actually do a better job in Yerushalayim than he can, anywhere else in the world, in any city? Say Melamed, just get a room, get a bunch of kids, get a Melamed. Why does it make a difference? Why does it have to dafka be in Yerushalayim? So Tosa says the Yisod that we've mentioned many times, Lefi Shayaroa, Kedusha, Gedola, V'Kohanim, Oskim Ba'avoda, Hayimechavin, Libo, Yoser, Liyira, Shemayim, V'Lilma Torah. Since he would see the great Kedusha and Kohanim involved in the Avoda, so that would bring him to Yira Shemayim, which enables the child to learn Torah. Meaning, the ideal environment for Talmud Torah is not only an ideal environment in the sense that a child's not distracted, and it's a serious environment in terms of the intellectual side of the studies. No, an ideal environment for learning Torah has to be an environment of Yira Shemayim. The environment has to be one where you can sense Yira Shemayim. And it was Dafki in Yerushalayim, where the child on his way walking to yeshiva will see a Kohanim running to do the Avoda. He would see the holy Jews of Yerushalayim doing what they do, and everything in Yerushalayim geared toward Avodas Hashem and Yira Shemayim, so that will allow him to be able to learn. The Chasam Sofer writes that Yesh Lulmon Mikan Kamatzorich Lios HaMelamed Yirei Shemayim Ma'od B'Shah HaMelamed HaSabanim. That's how we see from here how a Melamed Tinokos, how it's so critical that he be an extreme Yirei Shemayim, especially when he's dealing with children. Ki Dvarim When something comes from a lev yarei v'charad, from the heart of a person who's yirei shemayim, it's going to burn a fire in the kids. It's going to get them going. It's really going to introduce them to Torah in the proper way. And the Tosfos points out, "Kedashirin b'sefri leman tilmud the yira." That this isn't the only halacha where we have this emphasis on Yira Shemayim being the Reishis Chachma, so to speak, being the way to begin learning. We find that by Maaser Sheni as well, that we say Maaser Sheni is Mevi Lidei Talmud, brings a person to learning. Why? Because what's the halach of Maaser Sheni? That you have to take all the Maaser Sheni, you're allowed to eat it, you don't have to give it to anybody, but you have to eat it dafkan Yerushalayim. So you'd have to stick around Yerushalayim as long as it took to eat your Maaser Sheni. And once you're in that environment of Kedusha, and of Yira, and seeing all the Avoda, that would lead a person to Yira Shemayim as well, and therefore, by definition, to Talmud. He'd be able to learn Torah. Torah has to be done in an environment of Yira Shemayim. That's the Yisod of this. Rabbi Rosenzweig, when he gave a talk about, Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig from YU, when he gave a talk about how to choose a school for your child, he said that this is the number one concern, has to be a concern of a general sense of Yira Shemayim that permeates the atmosphere. And then you worry about everything else. And then you have to worry about tashkafos and this and that and everything else. But the number one concern is the sense of Yira Shemayim, because that's going to be the key to all learning that goes on. Okay, so that's the that's what Rabbi Shobin Gamla's contribution was, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. That what's the Tinokos now allowed to complain about? You can't complain that there are Tinokos that are coming to yeshiva if a guy opens up a Talmud Torah in your chatzar. You're not allowed to complain from the noise. Rav Moshe, in the Dibros Moshe, he quotes here in the Biurei Adaf, in the Dibros Moshe, Rav Moshe asks, why does the Gemara have to say that the toelas in Rabbi Shimon Gamla's Takana was for someone whose Rebbe would get mad at him, and the kid wouldn't be able to accept wouldn't be able to accept authority? There's a much greater toelas, that there were children learning from the age of 6 or 7. Isn't that much greater to us than children learning from, than, meaning the Gemara says, no, 16, 17 year old, the only problem with 16, 17 year olds is that they weren't able to be Makabel Maris, and they couldn't accept authority, so it didn't work out so well. How about the problem with 16, 17 year olds being that up until 16, 17 they weren't learning? Isn't that a bigger problem? Right? Why doesn't the Gemara focus on that? So Moshe says you can't say that they weren't learning. It must be that what was happening was that each father understood that he had a chiv to teach his child, and even the fathers that couldn't teach their children, if they were ashirim, they would hire somebody to teach their children. So the children were learning with their fathers or with local tutors and in tiny little groups. And if someone couldn't afford, so a lot of times the ashir would allow the ani's kid to sit in on the class to share a tutor with the ashir's kid. And that's how it worked originally. And the problem with that was they decided to set up Melamdim in Yerushalayim because they thought that it was important for children to have the best, to not just learn by their fathers and by whoever their father's friend who thought he knew how to teach a kid. They wanted professionals. They wanted the best. So they set up people in Yerushalayim so they could have Gedolei Torah, people who are really able to transmit Torah properly, to teach children a lot, and specifically to children who've already been learning. The problem was, if the children were already learning at home for all that time, and now you introduce them to the concept of having to listen to Gedolei Torah and to people, Gedolei Hamalamdin, and to educational professionals, then the children weren't listening to it. So the idea was, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's big contribution was, to introduce them to professionals, to have them accept the idea of a professional teacher who really knows what he's doing at a very young age. Why? Because it's necessary. If a parent can't teach his child aleph beis, maybe he can, but the attitude that has to be taught of going to a school and of having this kavod for a Rebbe because you view him as this gadol b'Torah and someone who's a real professional, that's an attitude that can't first be taught at the age of 16 or 17. It's an attitude that has to be taught. And again, very important yisod that Rav Moshe is teaching us, that it's one of the critical elements of a child's early education is that he understands and he think of the Rebbe as someone who's an authority. Otherwise, when he becomes older and he has Gedolei Yisrael that he's able to learn from, he's not going to think of them as an authority either. That's why parents have to be very, very careful about how they criticize Rebbeim, even not in front of the children, but especially in front of the children, where I overhear kids talking sometimes. Oh yeah, this Rebbe is the good Rebbe, and that Rebbe is the bad Rebbe. And that's an unfortunate thing for kids to have to hear and be able to repeat, because if they don't have that covered for the Rebbe, then it's going to affect. The Rebbe may not be good. He may be terrible, but it's still bad for the kid to realize that. It's bad for the kid to know that and to think that way. That undermines the takan of Rabbi Shimon Gamla. Says Gemara Vayter, Amalei Rav L'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Atshis L'Tekabil. Up until six, he's not willing to be Mekabel. The kid won't be able to take in the Torah. Mikan Ve'Lech Kabil V'Asvi L'Keturah. After six, he's able to learn, and you should stuff him like an ox. Right, Rashi says the yoke of Torah should be heavy on him like an ox. Others say, the Achronim point out in the back, that Asvi L'Keturah should feed him like an ox, where you can feed him a lot at a time, but you still do it benachas. You don't have to stuff it so much in a forceful way, but you should make sure you feed him a lot of Torah, provide him a steady diet of Torah, that very often parents, when their kids are 6 years old, don't think the kid is capable of that much and don't realize just how much a child is able to learn at that age. Children are able to learn an incredible amount at a young age. So you have to be cognizant of that and give them whatever they can do. V'amalei Rav L'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, ki machas yinuka lo timchi ela ba'arkasa demasna. He said, Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, when you hit a kid in encouraging him to learn, you should hit him very lightly. You should only hit him with the shoelaces, nothing that's really going to hurt him. To kari, if he learns, that's wonderful. To lo kari, and if he's still not learning, even with a little bit of encouragement, lavit safsa l'chavrei. So then you should put him together with a nice group of boys that are learning, and hopefully they'll have an influence on him. Right? That's always the first step. First step is you try to put him in a proper environment with the proper friends, and then the child's going to be able to learn. The Gemara is going to try to bring three rayas now. Meisvei, echad meichas hashubikei shlasos rofei uman vegardi, umelame tinokos. Doesn't it say beferish in the Brisa that if someone in the chatzar wants to establish an lamed tinokos, you are allowed to stop him? How can you say that our Mishnah is telling me that you're not allowed to stop someone from establishing a lamed tinokos? No, over here we're talking about tinokos da'akum. We're not talking about a yeshiva. We're talking about a secular school. Tashima, another raya. Shnaim shiyoshim b'chatzar. Two people are in the chatzar. Ubike shechem and lasos rofe v'uman v'gardi umelame tinokos chaveru ma'akev lov. His friend can stop him from establishing umelame tinokos. So the Gemara gives the same answer. What are you talking about? We're talking about tinokos da'akum, so it's not an issue at all. So why is a gardi okay? I'm sorry, by a gardi we said that chaver makav, if you can stop him. So Tulsa says, wait a second, a gardi is a weaver. Vim tomer, maishna gardi mi bal rechayim. He says, why is a gardi different than a guy who operates a mill? Right? When you operate a mill, the neighbors can't stop you. That they're not allowed to stop you. That you're allowed to have, and because people don't go in and out, you pick up their grain, you then bring it home, and you do your you grind it in your mill, and no one's allowed to stop you because of that noise, right? So Tosfos bothered. Why is gardi okay? Why is gardi not okay? Ma'isha gardi mi bal rechayim nam masnisin dein yochalim chos biado. Can't stop the bal rechayim v'lomarin yochal ishim mikol rechayim mikol apatish and tell him that he's making too much noise. So why is the gardi something? The gardi is a weaver, so probably also there isn't a crowd. Tosas, no, you have to say the hechitimsa is that there is a crowd, that it's a weaver, that people are coming back and forth. So I answers the Gemara anyway. How can I be tinokos da'akum? This price as well, when it talks about tinokos, melamdi tinokos, that you're allowed to stop, it's tinokos da'akum. A third raya, tashma, mishi ish la bayis b'chatzra shutfin. If you have a house in a chatzra that belongs to shutfin, hareza lo yaski renu, you're not allowed to rent it out. Lo l'rofe, v'lo l'uman, v'lo l'gardi, v'lo l'sofer Yehudi, v'lo l'sofer Arma'i. And neither to a sofer Yehudi, nor a sofer Arma'i. Now, sofer Yehudi sounds like a melamed tinokos of Jews, right? Because now it says specifically Yehudi. So answers Gemara, hakma eskinon b'sofer masa. No, sofer, who says sofer means melamed tinokos? We're talking about the town scribe, the sofer masa. That's how Tosas understands. Sofer masa means the scribe, a sofer, as you would say, a regular sofer, right? Whereas Rashi says, no, sofer masa means the school superintendent. I used to say maybe principal is the way to translate it, but it sounds more like the one who's in charge of making sure that each kid has a place, has a school to go to, and has a melamed tinokos and is meshadech with the various melamed tinokos. Right? Rashi says, sofer masa, he's not an actual teacher, rather he's melamed tinokos here. Moshe melamdim taktav, he hires teachers, v'mores kulam echiasu, he tells the teachers exactly what to do, v'yesham kol gadol, so he provides continuing education for teachers, and he helps out teachers in their jobs, and he hires them. So that's what we're talking about. So that makes a lot of noise, but it's not actual children that are coming to learn by him. Tulsa says, no, in the era of the Farish Kapir Shakunshasel from Rosa Hainam Lamitanok shall call it year, Dika call Gadol, because the Gemara is going to say later on that is going to imply otherwise later on. So rather, Tulsa says, Nira at the bottom, Kamashapirish Rach, Sofer Masa Kosif Shtaros Yir. The guy who's a scribe, he writes Shtaros, and that's considered something the Gemara later on is going to consider his job as a pseudo de lohadar, because if he writes a shtar shalokadin, so someone's going to have a mistaken shtar that he's going to be able to collect with. But it doesn't make sense for the sofer masa, the guy who instructs the teachers, for the Gemara to consider later on to be a pseudo de lohadar, that if he messes up, it's a loss that can't be retrieved. Why not? What's the big deal if it's just the sofer masa who hires the teachers and gives them continuing education? Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rava, mitakonis Yeshua ben Gamal ve'elach. From the time of the Takan of Yeshua ben Gamal and on, lo mamtinin yinuka mimasa l'masa, al beiknish to the beiknish mamtinan. That you wouldn't, a child would not have to go from one town to another town, but very often within the same town you'd have to go from one shul to another shul to meet with his rabbi. V'yimisak nara lo mamtinan. But if there's a river in between, then we don't make him travel over a river. You'd have to hire a new melamed tinokos just for that area where he's not going to be able to, where he won't have to travel over a river. But v'ikati surim mamtinan, if there's a bridge going over the river, then we would make him go. That's what Rashi says. Tisur is gesher rachav, a wide bridge. V'ika gamla lo mantinan. But if there's a gamla, which is a narrow plank to have to walk over, so then you weren't making bow. I recall seeing somewhere, I don't remember where, I think it was in Maritz Chiyah somewhere, that says that Rabbi Shimon Gamla's name wasn't, his father's name wasn't Gamla. That very often when people are referred to, when Tanaim and Amoraim are referred to, they're referred to by their major accomplishments, as like just like you would call someone a Ben Torah because he learns a lot of Torah, not because his father's name is Torah. So Rabbi Shimon Gamla is because he's the one who's the Ben Gamla. He's the one that made that saw to it that the children don't have to go on a Gamla, right? The name, the word Gamla happens to appear on the page of Rabbi Shimon Gamla's big Chiddush. So it's not a coincidence. He was called Rabbi Shimon Gamla because he's the one that saw to it that children don't have to travel far and that they're able to learn locally. So that was his major takana. Va'amar Rava, Sach Mikri Dar. By the way, this comes out that that it's a communal responsibility. I mean, Rabbi Shimon Gamla's big takana, obviously parents always had to see to it that their children were learning Torah, but the point is that this was a communal responsibility now, and even people who don't have parents, people who don't have parents who can pay, the community has to make sure that there are yeshivas that run that are able to teach children. It's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchas Talmud Torah, in Perek Aleph, he writes that someone who doesn't, who's Ein Yado Maseges, who's unable to afford tuition, the tzibur has to make sure that every child is educated in a Torah way, and the aniyim are allowed to be kofa the ashirim to pay for them from communal funds. Communal funds have to be used to support Torah learning, and even someone who doesn't have children has to pay for these communal funds. He says, so the very fact that yeshivas charge tuition individually to families, is that against this takana? He says, no, mistama, the parents who are able to afford tuition are mochel on the community, on the other people in the community from paying for their children's tuition, and therefore they'll pay on their own. But the parents who can't afford tuition, they're not mochel, and therefore the community's it's the community's responsibility to pay for them. However, one very important thing, he understands, Shulchan Aruch HaRav understands, that this only applies to teaching Tanakh. That this doesn't apply to, once the children are ready up to Mishnah and Gemara, so that a father could pay for it on his own. That's not a communal responsibility. The communal responsibility is only when it comes to teaching Tanakh. So that's his understanding. It's a little bit difficult to fit into the Gemara, because the Gemara was talking about B'nai Tezvav and Tezayin, 16, 17-year-old kids. So that's past the time of Tanakh. Ben Chamesh Lemikra, Ben Esa Lemishnah, Ben Chamesh Esrei Letalmud. They're ready up to learning Gemara at that point. But that's what he assumes, that it's Dafka when it comes to teaching Tanakh that we have these takanos. V'amarav, Asach Mikri Dardiki Esrei Lechamisha Yenuki. The total of children in a classroom should not exceed 25. There should only be 25 children in a classroom. Marsha says the Remes, remember this. Ko Savarchu Es B'nei Yisrael Amar Lahem. Chaf Hei Savarchu Es B'nei Yisrael Amar Lahem. When you want to bless B'nei Yisrael and teach them properly, it's having 25 kids and no more than that in a classroom. Right? That's one of the reasons of the tuition crisis, as it used to be. Years ago, tuition wasn't so much. One of the reasons was that they didn't pay teachers. Another reason was that they would have 35, 40 kids in the classroom. And nowadays, schools are makbid to have less than that in the classroom. So it obviously costs a lot more money, but that's what you got to do, because for the children to learn, it needs to be 25. V'yika chamishin musvin and trey. If you have 50 kids, you need two classes. V'yika arbaim mekmin reish duchna misayin lemimasa. If you have 40 kids, you need a teacher's assistant. And that teacher's assistant has to be paid from the Chazara Rebbe and whatever, someone who walks around the classroom and makes sure the kids are looking in and are paying attention and are engaged. So that also has to be paid from communal funds. If there's one teacher who teaches well and there's another one who's better, you don't fire him. Dilma asik this rashulei, because we're afraid that he's going to, that the new one is going to be overconfident and he's going to be lazy. Rav Dimon Adar Amar Kolshkein Degaris Tfei Kinesa from Tarba Chachma. It also will be very dejected. The person will feel dejected that he'll be able to lose his job so easily. And Rav Dimon Adar says, no, Adraba will cause more learning because the person's going to be on his toes and he's going to realize that if I don't do my job, they'll hire somebody else. It should be like any other job where you feel the pressure of doing the job properly. That's a good thing. Kinaso from Tarba Chachma. Vamaravahani Tre Mikri Dardiki Chadagar Slodai Chadaik Vlogaris. If you have two teachers, one of them is very precise, but he doesn't really cover too much ground. and the other one covers a ton of ground, but he's not very precise at all. So Mosvina Hudigaris Flodaik. You should have the one who covers ground that is not so precise. Shabesh Melanafka, because if children make little mistakes because we're covering too much ground too quickly, those mistakes will eventually fall away. But the broadness of their knowledge is something that's that you have to take advantage of when they're young. Rav Dimon Arda Amar, Rav Dimon Arda says, Mosvina Dadaik Flagaris. No, you need the guy who's very careful and precise in the way he teaches. Shabesh Kivin da Ol, because once a mistake you learn when you're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, that mistake is not going away. That's going to be ingrained, seared in his memory, and it's not going to easily go away. So therefore, it's more important to hire the guy who's careful, the chsiv, because the pasuk says, kishesh, what's the example of this where a mistake stayed with somebody? Pasuk says, kishesh chadashim yashav sham Yoav v'kal Yisrael ad hichris kal zachar be'edom, that Yoav killed out every zachar, every male in Edom. Kiyosel kamei to David, amar lei, my time of adetachi. So when he went to David, David said to Yoav, why did you only kill the males? What were you thinking? Amar lei, he says, what do you mean? Shteit and pasuk, timcha es zachar Amalek. It says in the pasuk that you should kill out the males of Amalek. Amar lei v'anan zecher karinan. He says, what do you mean, kill out the males? It doesn't say zachar Amalek. It says zecher Amalek, any remnant of Amalek, which means everything. Amalei, ana zachari karin. He says, I always read it zachar. So Azal Shaile the Rabbi. So Yoav went to find his Rebbe who taught him when he was a young kid to see how he taught him. Amalei hechakrisan. So he said to his Rebbe, how did you teach me? So Amalei, the Rebbe responded. So Tosus understands the Rebbe responded. Tosus on the bottom says, Pirush Rach, the Rabbi akriye zecher kedin. The Rebbe responded, what do you mean? Zecher, of course. It means remnant. It's not any male of Amalek. Shakal Safsiru the Miktalei. Yoav wanted to kill the Rebbe. So Amalei Amai. The Rebbe said, why do you want to kill me? Amalei Dechsiv, Ararosim Lach Shemramiya. Because you didn't do your job. Why didn't you do your job? I mean, Tosfos says that's the point. He wanted to kill him because the Rebbe knew better. It wasn't a mistake. The Rebbe knew better, but he didn't see to it that the children were learning what the Rebbe was teaching. Right? The Rebbe was teaching plenty. Children weren't learning. So he wasn't doing his job. So Amalei Shafke Lugav the Lake and Bari. He says, okay, so why don't you just let me be cursed instead of killing me? Amalek siv va'aru monei charba midan. He says, no, but it says in Pasuk that aru monei charba midan, cursed is one who holds his sword back from blood. So yikadarmi katli, yikadarmi lo katli. Some say he killed him, some say he didn't kill him. We're not sure whether he killed him or not. So anyway, Tosa said that the Rebbe got it, the Rebbe knew the correct pshat. Others are not convinced. The Marsha says, no, the Rebbe said zacha, the Rebbe did not know the correct pshat. Aye, but what about Tosfos Kasha? If the Rebbe himself didn't know the correct pshat, what are you going to kill him? It was a mistake. He didn't know. So the Marsha says, if you don't know, don't become a Rebbe. If you don't know how to teach, then you shouldn't become a Rebbe. If you don't know yourself the information that's necessary to teach, then it's a terrible avla to become a Rebbe. Right? So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over three things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is morid demos about people who get involved in Melech HaShemayim that don't belong, and people who do belong that don't get involved in Melech HaShemayim are amongst the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries about. So that was the terrible thing that he had done. Is there any hint in this Gemara whether the proper pronunciation is Zecher or Zecher? Meaning, we know it's not Zecher. That we got from this Gemara. Is there any hint here whether it's Zecher or Zecher? So the Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara says that he's got it, that it's an Afna Raya in this Gemara, what the correct pronunciation is. What's the Raya? So he says as follows, Ein betosos v'efshalom al-pishi yadua, shamedaktikim korin l'tzeirei kamatz katan. The tzeirei very often is called a kamatz katan. V'chein mavur b'Rashi zal pashas miketz al pasuk ochel im efshar. And Rashi says in Achumish, efshar debazeh haya hatolus derabe amrle likros b'kamatz. He says that was the mistake. The Rebbe got up and said, everyone, this word is zayin, kamatz zayin, and al kein hayu sovrim likros zachar. So everyone thought kamatz, the real kamatz. The kavanaso hayu likros b'kamatz katan. It didn't dawn on the Rebbe that they would read it zachar. He said it's kamatz zayin, and he meant kamatz katan, which is a tzeirei. So he meant zecher. Valkeinu yinir raya mikan. So says the Paras Yosef, if this is a raya, the tzrichim likros zecher v'lo zecher b'segel. That it's zecher with a tzeirei, not zecher with a segel. Then came lo yachol litos klal. The hasegel nikra patach katan. A segel is called a patach katan. There's no way they would have messed that up. Kamvor Rashi sham parshas miketz. Right, like it says in Rashi parshas miketz. So there's no way they would have, if he said Patach, he didn't say Patach Zayin, he said Kamat Zayin. How would they have ever mistaken it to read, you know, if he said Patach Zayin because he wanted it to be read Zecher, and he meant Patach Katan, which is a Segel, then they never would have ended up with Zachar. They would have ended up with Zachar. What if they thought Patach? That doesn't even mean anything, Zachar. So it would have been Zachar. So that's the raya, that it's Zecher and it's not Zecher. The Rebbe taught it Zecher, and that's the correct reading, and not Zecher. The Marsha quotes from the Rashba. He says that the Rashba says that it's Zecher with a segel, which is interesting, because I always thought that the only Makar to read Zecher was in Maisa Rav. Mishabura quotes, why do we read it a second time when we read Parshas Zachar and we read it Zecher? Mishabura says, we do that to satisfy the Shitas HaGra in Maisa Rav, because in Maisa Rav it says that the Gra read it Zecher, even though in all the Chumashim it's printed Zecher, and we're always, the tradition, the Masorah is Zecher, the Gra read it Zecher. So I've covered for the Gra, Mishabura says we read it a second time, Zecher. And I always thought that that was very unusual, because if you look in Maisa Rav, in the introduction, the Haskamos, rather, to Maisa Rav, Rav Chaim Balazhner writes in his Haskamah to Maisa Rav that I like the book, you have a lot of good things in here, most of the Minhagim, there are a lot of Minhagim in here that I was unaware of, Rav Chaim Balazhner says, most of the ones that I am aware of are accurate, except for two. There's one about what we say at the end of Kedusha, Shvachacha, Veshivchacha, whatever, that's one where he says he thinks they got it wrong. And the other one, he says, is that you say the Gra read Zecher. He says, I've heard the Gra read Parsha Zecher. He never read Zecher. He read Zecher. So either he changed his mind when he got older and he read it Zecher, or you're mistaken. So that's the one thing of all the whole book. Rav Chaim Balazhner picks that out as a thing that's inaccurate, and we go ahead and we read Zecher. But according to the Marsha, there's a Rashba. I didn't take a look, see if it's in the Rashba in the Chiddush of the Masech. I don't think it is. But the Marsha says that there's a Rashba that had Zecher. So maybe there's a Shita that long predates the Gra to read Zecher. Okay, anyway, says Gemara Vayter, Vamar Rava, Mikri Yenuka, Shasla, Tavcha, V'umna, V'sofer, Masa, Kulan, Kamusun, V'umden, Ninhu. All these professions, the Mikri Yenuka, the Shasla, which is the guy who works in the field, the Tavcha, which is the butcher or the Shochet, the bloodletter, and the Sofer Masa, are all Kamusun, V'umden. Are all, and Rashi says over here, Sofer Masa means something else. Over here it doesn't mean the principal. Over here it means, right, because again, like Tosfos asks on Rashi, that Sofer Masa, if it is not something that's a perceived the Lav Hadar, so why should it be Kamusun Va'umdin Dami? So over here Rashi says Sofer Masa is Lavlar. Over here it means a scribe, someone who writes Sefer Torah. Tosfos over here again says, nah, I don't think that's correct either, because that's not a perceived the Lav Hadar, just write a different Sefer Torah. Tosfos says, no, Sofer Masa means the same thing I said it means a Mamad Aleph, which is Kosei Shtaros, people who write Shtaros. And that's why it's a Pseidu Lo Hadar. Someone has an inaccurate Shtar, he'll be able to do damage with it. Klal de Milsa, Kol Pseidu Lo Hadar Musar Vaminhu. Anything that, when you mess up, is a loss that cannot be retrieved, is considered as if you're forewarned. Amar Rav Huna, this next sugya is a very important sugya lahalacha. We're not going to be able to get into it. I have an article on it if anyone's interested. But it's the sugya of Yori Umnasu Shel Chavero, of unfair competition in business. Can I open up a pizza shop next to my friend's pizza shop? We'll just read it straight from the Gemara, but there's a lot more here. Amar Rav Huna, Hay Bar Mavua Du Uki Rechaya. There's always a lot more here in Daf Yomi. Hay Bar Mavua Du Uki Rechaya Vasa Bar Mavua Chavrei V'Kamoki Gabei Dinu Hudemakiv Ilavei. If someone living in a mavoi sets up a mill, and then another friend comes in the same mavoi and sets up a mill, the first guy can stop him from doing so. You can say, you're stopping my livelihood. Let's bring a riot to this. That you can't set out your fishing nets near someone else's fishing nets. You have to be marchik a certain distance. So you see that you're not allowed to just go and do the same business that your friend is doing right in his area. So it says, I want to know, shiny dug him, diavisiara. No, by fish it's different, because when the first guy set out nets, there may have been fish that were already attracted to that first net. And now you're putting out a second net, they're going to leave the first net and go to the second net. So you're literally taking away fish that he was already co-net, that either through Agbah, because the fish started moving, or they're already in the net through his kalim, whatever it is, you're taking away fish that are already his. So it seems that Rav Huna is in agreement with Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna, who says that you can stop a competitor, is like Rav Yehuda. A store owner can't give candies to children because it's going to cause the children to only come to his his store and not to the other stores. The Chum Matir and the Chum say it's mutter. So you see, it's unfair business practice. Says the Gemara, Afilu Tem Rabbanan. The Rabbanan could also agree with Rav Huna. Ad Kan Lo Pligi Rabbanan Leid Rav Yehuda Asam El Dam Leid Anakam Afligi Amgozi Ad Plog Shiyuski. The Rabbanan over there would say, yeah, you can give out candies because let the other guy also give out candies. Let him give out some other prizes. Avlach Afilu Rabbanan Modu Da Amu Leid Kapsak Leid Chiyusi. But when someone opens up a competing store, so there's only so much business to go around, so that's going to be a much bigger problem. A person can set up a store next to his friend's store. And no one's allowed to say anything because I could say, I own this property, I'm allowed to do whatever business I want in this property. You own your property, you do whatever business you want in your property. So Tanai, he says, so it must be it's a machlokas Tanai whether you're allowed to have such competition. Tanya, Kofim Bnei Mavuz, Zeshlolosh Bnei Lochayv, Loborski, Vlamlamin Tinokos, Vlachem Bnei Baliumnius. You can stop someone from coming in from another mavoi and setting up shop in your mavoi, but your neighbor in your mavoi you can't stop. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, that even your own neighbor, you're allowed to stop in your mavoi from setting up a competing shop if you had a shop there first. We'll stop there. Okay, we'll stop there.